It is so good to have you guys here. We have a special treat. As you know, Pastor Jim and his family are on vacation. And as we announced a couple of weeks ago, we've brought some new elders onto the elders team. There's already refreshing on the team that I believe is going to spread throughout our congregation.
Amen.
And David Patterson is one of our new elders. He's going to share the word with us. We've already experienced it, Judy and I have, and Triana and Dina at the South Campus at Robeson. You're going to be blessed. We're going to have fun together in the Lord. And so, David, hopefully you'll tell us a little about yourself. And
A little bit.
All right.
Not much. Oh, we're honored to be here this morning. Are you glad to be in the house of God? Well, that was rather mediocre. Are you glad to be in the house of God?
Yeah.
Much better. Thank you. My wife, Carol, is down here on the front row. 1 month from tomorrow, we'll have been married 49 years. We met at a Christian college in California, got married between junior year and senior year, and graduated, got my degree in theology, ready to go out and take on the whole world. And several very nice invitations came along. The Lord said, absolutely not. That's not for you. Finally, the most inauspicious invitation. We were praying and seeking the face of God. What do we do? Most inauspicious invitation came, and the Lord said, take that one. And we did. It was a pure act of obedience. And suddenly our whole future opened up like a flower. Now here's something for you to take away. You can write it down. It says, it's this. When we do what he asks, he does what he promised. Oh, yes. Suddenly, our future opened up like a flower. 3 years later, Carol and I were living just outside New York City. Carol was David Wilkerson's secretary. I was David Wilkerson's vice president of his organization, his crusade director, and he and I traveled all over the world, sharing Christ in mass crusades, some nights as many as 50,000 people in a meeting. We saw hundreds of thousands of people. I had no idea. I just acted in obedience to the Lord. He said, you do what I tell you. That led us to an international missionary evangelism organization headquartered in Los Angeles. I became their executive vice president. 65 offices in 65 countries of the world. Every day, it continues to this day. It's now headquartered in Colorado Springs. Dick Eastman is the president. Dick is a dear friend of ours. 1 million people a day receive a witness of Jesus Christ. They're now pressing into the nations that they call the limited access. That's a euphemism for the Muslim world. But people are giving their lives to take the gospel message into areas where it's tough. We were proud to be a part of that. 20 years ago, the Lord said to Carol and I, that part of your life is complete. I want you now to give yourself to the body of Christ. Carol is an editor. She's a freelance editor. She helps Christian authors get their books ready for publication. All kinds of them. She helps churches and ministries polish their material that go out in the public. I travel and teach and consult and help ministries with fundraising programs and projects and leadership development, all kinds of things. We just respond as the Lord tells us to. You do what he asks, he'll do what he promised. Now that takes me to where we're going this morning. That's enough about us. That takes me to Psalm 23. So if you've got your Bible, turn with me to probably, maybe the most familiar passage of Scripture in the Bible. A lot of us have read this for a very long time. Leaving the service this morning, I was talking with one of the ladies at the Robeson Ranch, and this is the message that I gave there. And she said, I memorized this when I was going through catechism in the Lutheran church. It hangs on the wall on plaques in some of your homes. There's a powerful series of truths here. It begins with, and before I get into that, let me set the stage a little bit. David, the man who penned this, was a shepherd. It was written or expressed about 3,000 years ago. When David penned this, when it poured out of his heart, he had no idea that on Sunday morning, July the 6th, a group of people in Sanger, Texas, would be looking at what the expression, this was just a man pouring out his heart to God. David was a shepherd. Now let me correct a little thinking that people have about shepherds. We Americans have a tendency to think of shepherds. Well, those are those nifty-looking guys that walk out in dresses that look like ladies at the pageant at Christmas time, and they look after the sheepies. So we wimpify them. Bad thought pattern. These were tough, resilient men who overcame all kinds of obstacles. They lived in the outdoors. Nothing came at them that they couldn't care for. A better thought pattern when thinking of a shepherd, instead of thinking wimp, think motorcycle gang member. Think Hell's Angels or Outlaws. These were tough, resilient men. David faced all kinds of obstacles. The Bible says that he, with his own hands, killed a lion and a bear. Now, tell me that's not one tough dude. He knew what it was to be a shepherd. But he said and declared, and this is the pivotal statement in Psalm 23. If you don't get this, the rest of the psalm falls on the floor. The Lord, David said, is my shepherd. David, the consummate shepherd on earth, was saying, it ain't enough. I need somebody who can take me out through this life and on into eternity. I need God as my shepherd. That is the clearest call that flows out of this passage. The Lord is my shepherd. One of the things that I'm a northerner, if it doesn't, I come from so far north, I live nearly on the Arctic Circle. I'm a Canadian by birth. I was born in Western Canada. But I got to Texas as quick as I could. And I'm convinced that if David was alive, he would be a Texan. He would say, forget Israel. I'm going to the promised land. I am a citizen of the great Republic of Texas and of the United States of America. Please notice the order. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And let me just be very clear with you for a second. I was stunned when I first moved to the South, traveling through Mississippi, Alabama, and parts of Texas, and I would say to people, and this was a wrong question on my part, I would say to them, are you a Christian? And they would say, well, my granddad helped start the church at whatever town it was and call off the name of the church. I said, no, that's not the issue. Have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Is he a living reality inside of you? Have you made God your shepherd? Get a blank stare back. But I'm a Baptist. I'm a Presbyterian. Going to church does not make you a Christian any more than walking into a garage makes you a car. It doesn't translate. David was acknowledging, the Lord is my shepherd. Then he went on to say, I shall not want. He wasn't saying, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I get what I want. That's not what he was saying. He was saying, I'll never be left uncovered, unprotected, undirected. He will guide me through every aspect of my life. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Sheep need four things. They need food, they need water, they need rest, they need protection. We're very much like sheep. We are sheep, if we'll admit it. Jesus called us his sheep. He instructed his disciples, feed my sheep. He leads me, he makes me lie down in green pastures, is saying that if we will let him, when we make him our master, he will take us to places and feed us with the word of God. Someone said to me not long ago, I really need to hear from the Lord on this issue. And I'm not hearing a thing. I responded to them, you're not going where the Lord is talking. I said, well, tell me where. Right here. The conversation is unending. It never stops. He takes us into the Word and brings it alive to us. The Word of God is alive. It is active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It speaks to me, it leads me, it guides me. I'm a passionate devotee of the Word. He leads me beside still waters. God doesn't speak to us when we're busy rushing around, acting, playing on Facebook, watching TV, playing on Netflix, running around. God speaks to us almost exclusively when we stop what we're doing and reach out to him. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait. Sometimes we just need to stop. We need to stop the insanity of life. And say, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. Sheep will not drink. I didn't understand this till I studied it. Sheep will not drink from a rushing river. So a shepherd will take time to create for them a little quiet place, maybe the placement of some stones, maybe a little shovel work, and there'll be a little place where the sheep can come and quietly drink. We can't drink in the rush of life. We need to hear from the Lord. Young people, we need to hear from the Lord. Old people, like me, I need to hear from the Lord. I probably need it more than you do. I need to hear from him. But if I will still myself and reach to him, his promise is he will not only lead me where the feeding is good, and where the water of life is flowing, but he will restore my soul. Every day, the shepherds reach out to the sheep one by one. Holy Land shepherds will reach out to the sheep one by one and draw them to themselves and check them over to make sure that there's no wounds, no sickness. And if there is, they give them that personal attention. This is a picture of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Aren't you glad the Holy Ghost is alive and well? Every morning when I get up early, I go into my office, I open the Word of God, I sit quietly before him, and I say to the Holy Spirit, welcome. It's not forbidden in Scripture for us to talk to the Holy Spirit. He's one of the triune Godhead. And I welcome him. I say, Holy Spirit, come. Lead me. Guide me. Reveal to me. Protect me. Cause the word to come alive in my life. And often, because the Lord has graced me with his a heavenly language, I begin to pray in tongues. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, it says, edifieth himself. And the critics go, oh, hey, you Pentecostals, you spirit-filled people, you want to edify yourself. You just want to feel good. Well, that's not what it means. The word edify in the original language means to refresh, to restore, to build up. Hallelujah for the Holy Ghost. He comes when we begin to allow him to be active in our life. We begin to pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Not only are we communicating with heaven, but he's building us back up. He's fixing the broken places in us. That's the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake for 48 years. Carol and I have watched the Lord lead us as he wanted us to go, and that's what this is speaking of. He will take us in the pathway when we acknowledge him and we decree, I'm going to follow the Lord. He takes us in the pathway that he has designed for us. Psalm 139, I think it's verse 16, says that all your days were written in his book before one of them came to be. That blows my mind. How can that be? He's an eternal God. He knows you. He knows your pathway. He's already alive in the tomorrow. All your days. He's got a pathway that's yours distinctly, and he wants to lead you in it. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There is a place in Israel that the shepherds sometime had to take their sheep through. It was called the Valley of Deep Shadows, and it was a tough, dangerous place, but often they had to go through it to get to pasture land on the other side. And sometimes there were robbers and others there that were trying to damage. David said, I'm not afraid because you're with me. You watch over me. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Jesus said to his church at the end of the book of Matthew, his comforting words before he left to go, lo, I am with you until the end of the age. We face nothing alone. He's with us. I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff are with me. Shepherds carried two things. They carried the staff, and we've talked about that. That's the long stick with the curved end, and they carried a club about 30 inches long, heavier weight, and they could use it in their hand or they could throw it. And these shepherds were very skilled at being able to throw that rod and kill an attacking predator at 20 or 30 feet. They'd throw it. The rod is symbolic of the word of God. Your word, the word is both an offensive and defensive weapon. How did the Lord defeat the devil when they went to battle in the wilderness? He used the word of God. He spoke it at him, and it brought the enemy's attacks to nothing. We need to be utilizing God's word in our life. When that temptation comes, speak the word of God to it. When that problem refuses to go away, speak the word of God to it. The staff is representative or symbolic of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said about the Holy Spirit when he was explaining to his disciples that he was going and the Holy Spirit was coming. He said, I'm sending you another comforter. I'm sending you another helper. David said, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, let me let you in on a little secret about me. You guys like comfort food? Huh? Come on. Well, I do. There's certain things I like. And there are certain passages of Scripture that I've learned over the years that to me are spiritual comfort food. That when the going is tough and things are coming against me, I know that I can find an encouraging word from the Lord there. I have a list of them. My comfort food. So there. I'm not embarrassed about it. I admit it. I'm hooked on comfort food. David then shifts from the needs of the shepherd to the hosting that goes on in a shepherd's life. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In the shepherd's world, they had laws of hospitality that all shepherds adhered to. And one of them was that when a guest is received into their house, no matter what was chasing them, who was chasing them, they were then under the protection. The moment they stepped inside that man's house, they were under his protection. And the attacker needed to understand that. The pursuer needed to understand that. This was the law of hospitality of David's day among the shepherds. When we step into the household of God and we acknowledge God, you are my shepherd, we come under his protection. He says, David says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. All the blessings of the Lord, all the blessings of the Lord are flowing, and the enemy of your soul can't do a thing about it. He cannot. The Lord, it's the Lord's table. It's not my table. It's not my creation. I didn't get it at a convention. I didn't get it off a tape series. I got it from God. It's his table. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Why does God do that? Look at me. Because he cares for you. Say that out loud. Say, God cares for me. You know the words that brought Nicky Cruz, who Carol and I've gotten to know over the years, to his knees. Nicky had actually plotted to kill David Wilkerson. After their initial encounter, he and some of his gang members set up a plan to murder David. Nicky was scared to death of what was going to happen to his gang. Some of them had already begun to find the Lord, but the thing that brought him to his knees and finally led him to the Lord was a simple expression, Nicky, God loves you. He couldn't handle that. He just couldn't handle it. Knocked him spiritually right into the arms of God. Listen, my friend. He cares for you. He loves you. He's not overwhelmed by any circumstance you're in or not in. He loves you. David goes on to say, you anoint my head with oil. When a guest is received into the home of a shepherd, they come in off the road. There were no Holiday Inns. There were no rest stops on the freeway. There were no showers. They would travel, and when they got to somebody's house, the law of hospitality said, take them in, prepare a table for them, anoint their head with oil. Because they didn't have a lot of water, they didn't have a lot they didn't have any showers. Oil to the sun-baked skin, cracked, hot, dusty, oil was very refreshing and it was very fragrant. So they would apply the oil to them and they'd be refreshed. And the fragrance of the oil would cover the smell of the road. These people would be on the road walking in dust that was mingled with all kinds of the feces of cattle and animals, kicking up on them, the hot and sweaty. You can imagine what it was like by the time they got to somebody's home. Pardon my French, but they smelled like crap. And, I'm sorry. That was not French. Crapé, that's French. They just didn't smell sweet, so they would anoint them with oil. A part of the Bedouin law of hospitality was, at the end of the meal, when someone came by, they would take them in, whoever it was, put a little more water in the soup, cut the steak a little thinner, throw on a few more mashed potatoes, and they would have a meal, and they would enjoy it. At the end of the meal, the host would take a flask of wine, and he would walk around the table or wherever they were eating. In front of them would be their plate. Out in front of that would be their cup. And the host would walk around with his flask, and he would pour into their cup. And it was both refreshing to them and it was a signal. If he filled their cup up halfway, it was a signal to say, thank you for being our guest, and we pray the blessing of the Lord upon you as you now continue your journey. If he filled their cup up to the top, it was a signal to say, if you'd like to stay longer, we've enjoyed having you here, you're welcome. Stay longer. That is not what David said. He said, my cup overflows. That's the grace of God, my friend. When we receive Jesus Christ into our life, we say, Jesus, come and dwell in me. He doesn't come half measure. He doesn't come two-thirds measure. He doesn't come three-fourths measure. He doesn't come full measure. It overflows. Jesus said in John 10, check it out for yourself. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Hebrews 13 says he's the great shepherd. Also in John 10, he said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Guess what the word abundantly means? Till it overflows. He doesn't want you to have a life spiritually. Well, I'm going to make it through. I'm going to hang on to the end. Oh, no. His plan for you, dear heart, his plan for you, young man, his plan for you, dad, is that your spiritual life overflows. I can tell you, at 70 years of age, I know I don't look that old, but I are. I'm enjoying the presence of the Lord more in my life now. It is abundant. It's overflowing. One of the most incredible experiences I ever had. 4 years ago, I had throat cancer. Came on me like a ton of bricks. Suddenly, I'm in a world I didn't want anything to do with. I'm meeting with oncologists and ear, nose, and throat specialists and all kinds of things. Ends up, I was talking to one of the doctors one day. He said, Dave, we cannot isolate where this cancer has come from. They try to find the place in your body where it had come from. It just appeared on the side of my throat. I looked at Dr. Park and I said, well, I know where it comes from. Well, he said, David, I can't direct radiation at hell. I went through a very aggressive period of cancer treatment. On a chemo pump 24 hours a day, 5 days a week, 39 radiation treatments. It was tough going through that. I never felt horribly sick. I just didn't feel very well. I lost 70 pounds in 4 months. I couldn't eat. Many nights I couldn't sleep. In the middle of that experience, one night I was up. I didn't want to disturb my wife. I went out and got in my easy chair in the den. I just began to worship the Lord. How do you worship the Lord when all hell is breaking loose around you? I'll tell you how. Start at the beginning. Jesus, thank you I'm saved. Thank you that your blood has come and washed me free of my sin. Thank you that the Holy Ghost is dwelling in me. Thank you, Lord, for the promises that you've given to me in your word. And suddenly, I began to feel the anxiety and the pressure began to recede as I worshiped. And then a truth came blasting through to me. Psalm 22, verse 3. God inhabits the praises of Israel. We are the spiritual Israel. The word inhabits means that when we praise him, we are in a fresh new way. Every time we worship and praise, we're putting God afresh on the throne of our life. When that passage in Psalm 22 and verse 3 was translated into the Japanese language, the original translation, they had a problem with the word throne because they did not have an equivalent word in the Japanese language at that time. So they struggled with it. Finally, one of the interpreters came up with what, to me, I think is one of the most beautiful understandings of this passage I have ever read. And he put it this way: when God's people begin to praise him, he brings a big chair and sits down next to them. Oh, I tell you what, I'm Episcopalian. I am not. But I'm about to break out into dance here. Sitting in my easy chair, in the middle of cancer treatment, all hell breaking loose around me, the presence of God walked into the room, and he stood right next to me. Amen. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. And he said, David, put your hand in mine. I said, God, that's the only thing I know how to do, just to worship and walk with you. 4 years later, folks, I'm cancer-free. And I rejoice. First of all, I thank the Lord Jesus Christ, and also I thank the godly doctors, good doctors, who helped guide me through the natural part of it. My cup, I love this, my cup overflows. Why? because he cares for us. He cares for you. Finally, David finishes with this precious understanding, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When I was a little boy, I thought, who would want to go live in the church their whole life? Well, he's talking about eternity, folks. That's what he's talking about. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And as we head out of this life into eternity, I'm confident of where I'm going and who I'm going to be with. Let me finish this message with this story. When the western part of the United States was being settled and the frontier was slowly pushing westward, in the small towns out in the west, they didn't have much activity. They were farmers and ranchers and a few shopkeepers and a few people that lived in town. So it was a real treat any time a traveling group of players or theatrical people or musical people, or one of the things that was real popular as a form of entertainment 150 years ago, were traveling orators. They would travel from town to town. People would pay a little bit to come in, and some of them would recite poetry, some of them would recite Shakespeare, some of them would recite dramatic readings from a book, some would recite all of the above and some scripture. And one man was especially popular, and when he went to this one particular town, he did his recitation and the people enjoyed it. It was his custom at the end of the recital to stop and take requests from the crowd. When he did so this one night, someone yelled out, "Do Psalm 23. So he did. In this booming bass voice, he started into "The Lord is my shepherd." And off he went. And when he got done, people loved it. They began to applaud. Someone yelled out, "Do it again!" So he did it the second time. This time he was even a little more animated, and the crowd was a little more responsive. And when he finished, they stood to their feet and clapped. And someone yelled out again, "Do it again!" And he stopped them. He said, "No, I'm not going to do it again. I'm going to ask my pastor, who's traveling with me right now, to come. I want him to recite the 23rd Psalm." And from the back, a little man walked up, stooped over by illness and age, his hair completely white. And he stood in front of that crowd, was so appreciative, so excited, and he began to recite in a voice that had been broken over the years by sickness and time. It wasn't a booming voice, it was a broken voice, and he began to recite the 23rd Psalm, and when he finished, there was dead silence in the room. No one applauded. It was almost embarrassing. And suddenly, a sob broke out, and then another one. Some of the cowboys had their heads down. Some of the ladies had their handkerchiefs up to their faces. The orator finally stepped back up to the podium, and he said, "Let me explain to you what just happened. I know the psalm. My pastor knows the shepherd. Presence of the Lord had come in the room. Dear heart, the pivotal statement in what we have talked about this morning is, the Lord is my shepherd. My prayer for everyone in this room this morning is that no one leaves here, no one walks out of this room today without acknowledging that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the Good Shepherd, and I can receive him into my life today. We've talked about the overflowing cup. When we act in obedience and say, Lord, I make you my shepherd. I want you to be my shepherd. Maybe things have gotten a little murky in your life, and he's gone from being a full-time shepherd to you to being a part-time shepherd. Make him your shepherd today. And in a moment, we're going to sing a little chorus. I learned years and years ago. Jeff and Sherry are going to come, and Judy, and help me. And the cup is, I mean, the chorus is, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Stand with me. Fill my cup, Lord. Sing it and make it your prayer. You've never received Christ as Savior. Do it now. Just ask him. Come in. Forgive me.
Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole.
One more time.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more.
Fill my cup, I lift it up, and make me whole. Now I'm going to turn the service in a moment. Pastor Jeff, let me tell you what an honor it is for Carol and I to have been here. We're honored to be asked to be a part of the elder body. We attend the church in Robeson, the ranch. We're thrilled to be a part. We feel like we're home here. I want to say to Pastor Jeff and Judy how much we love them. And Pastor Jim and Christine, we're delighted and honored to be a part of this fellowship. And this morning, we're honored to be with you. And if you've got a spiritual need that the Holy Ghost has been talking to you about this morning, don't leave here until you've talked. Some of the elders and pastors and ministry team will be available. And you come at the end of the service when Pastor prays. After he prays, you come. Let them minister to you. Talk to them. Receive from him. Let the overflowing cup be your portion. Amen? Pastor Jeff.